From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. In the Syrian capital, Damascus, Tuesday, a rocket believed launched by rebels struck a shopping district, killing at least 35 people. This city resident said he has a shop and saw a shell hit the building and then went down to the market, killing civilians and children. Meanwhile, Russian and government warplanes bombarded the dwindling rebel-controlled parts of nearby eastern Ghouta. According to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, dozens were killed, raising the death toll since a government offensive was launched a month ago to more than 1,400. With government forces locked in the assault on eastern Ghouta, Islamic State militants captured a Damascus neighborhood late Monday, killing at least 36 pro-regime fighters. In Afrin, to the northwest, recently captured by Turkish forces, the UN Children's Fund's Merrick C. Mercado spoke of the dire need of residents.
Since March 6, people in Afrin City have suffered from severe water shortages, as the source of water to Afrin City was reportedly damaged by fighting. UNICEF-supported water trucks have also stopped delivering much-needed safe water to vulnerable areas in the city since March 15, due to the escalation of violence.
The UN also said some 100,000 are trapped in northern Syria after fleeing the capture of Afrin. A Tunisian engineer has been killed by his kidnappers in southwest Cameroon, although three colleagues were rescued, including another Tunisian and two Cameroonians. The four were kidnapped last week while building a road between the towns of Kouma and Isangele in the Anglophone part of the country. The government blamed terrorists for the kidnapping, a reference to English-speaking separatists seeking to break away from the mostly French-speaking country. Separatists last October declared the self-proclaimed Republic of Ambazonia. This is VOA News. President Donald Trump Tuesday said he phoned Russian President Vladimir Putin to congratulate him on his election victory and hoping to meet soon. Mr. Trump said he hoped they would talk about arms control. At the State Department, spokesperson Heather Nauert insisted that despite difficult relations with Moscow and the apparent restrictive atmosphere surrounding Sunday's election, the two nuclear powers must remain in conversation.
I want to be clear that we call out Russia when they are responsible for an action, and we will not hesitate to do so. But the reality is that we are two nuclear powers, two superpowers in this world, and we still have to be able to pick up the phone and have a dialogue and conversation with one another.
Russia has been criticized for its alleged attempt to influence the 26 U.S. election, a charge it has denied. President Trump gave a warm welcome Tuesday to Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman.
Great honor to have the Crown Prince with us. Saudi Arabia has been a very great friend.
They discussed hundreds of millions of dollars in Saudi investments in the U.S. and Riyadh's growing purchase of military hardware.
Some of the things that we're now working on and that have been ordered and will shortly be started in construction and delivered. THAAD system, $13 billion. The C-130 Hercules, great plane, $3.8 billion. The Bradley vehicles, that's the tanks, $1.2 billion. And the P-8 Poseidons, $1.4 billion.
The Crown Prince is also the Saudi defense minister. A senior Trump administration official said the two discussed the humanitarian situation in Yemen, where the Saudis are locked in battle with Houthi rebels, Iran, and nuclear cooperation. A student who shot and wounded two other students at a Maryland high school Tuesday was killed in an exchange of gunfire with a campus security officer. Tim Cameron is the St. Mary's County Sheriff.
Today at approximately 7:55 a.m., Great Mills High School student Austin Wyatt Rollins, age 17, produced a handgun while in hallway F in Great Mills High School and shot a Great Mills High School student, a female who was 16, and a Great Mills High School student, a male who was 14.
It appears the shooter knew one of the students wounded. This latest school shooting in the U.S. followed by just weeks the mass shooting in Parkland, Florida, in which 17 died. Meanwhile, Canada has unveiled proposals to tighten its gun laws to address a spike in crime involving firearms. The measures include enhanced background checks on gun purchases and records of gun inventories and sales by retailers. Ottawa said gun-related crimes rose 30% from 2013 to 2016, with gun homicides rising 66% in the same period. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA. We'll be right back.
Morning Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Wednesday, March 21st, and here are some of the stories we are covering. With a week before Sierra Leone's runoff election, a private citizen has asked the Supreme Court to issue an injunction on the process.
I am hoping that the orders that are paid for, as genuine as they are, would be granted, that there will be an injunction, that there will be a recount, and that there will be a forensic assessment of the systems of NEC, which all the political parties have challenged.
Ibrahim Sori Koroma is the Sierra Leonean asking the Supreme Court to issue an injunction on the runoff election. We'll get the reaction of the main opposition SLPP. The Cameroon government says its military raided separatist camps and freed foreign hostages, but the secessionists say they don't take foreign hostages.
We are not into holding foreign hostages in this war. We are fighting this war with all the caution that we can.
Chris Anu is the Secretary of State for Communication of the Ambazonia Separatist Movement of Cameroon. South Sudan's government vows to suspend the operations of the VivaCell mobile phone network. And President Macron of France outlines plans to promote the French language worldwide. Those stories plus our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. With less than a week before Sierra Leone's presidential runoff election, a private citizen has asked the country's Supreme Court to issue an injunction on the process. Ibrahim Sori Koroma, a member of the ruling All People's Congress Party, is asking the court to compel both the Chief Electoral Commissioner and the Attorney General to manually recount all results in the March 7th first-round vote, including all council ballots. Koroma, who says he is not related to President Ernest Bai Koroma, is also asking the court to order the defendants to produce voter lists from each polling station. He tells me he wants to make sure the runoff election is free of the many irregularities that marred the first round vote.
There have been reports, allegations and counter-allegations from political party leaders basically questioning the credibility of the results from the elections that were organized. So for me as a Sierra Leonean, I think that I am acting for the voiceless, and this is one opportunity to settle this cause. We go to court, we ask the court to look at what the commission has done and to make certain orders that will address the concerns of basically the political parties and the people who have raised them, so that the fighting will stop, the wounding will stop, the destruction of property will stop. Once we settle all those concerns and those queries, then we can go to runoff.
First of all, in what capacity are you? What is your affiliation?
I'm a citizen of Sierra Leone. I'm a registered voter. I have the right to enforce matters that concern the discharge of responsibilities of state functionaries, including, of course, functionaries such as NEC, established by the Constitution. And so I'm bringing this action in my private capacity as a Sierra Leonean and as a registered voter in the Republic of Sierra Leone.
Did you take your allegations to the Elections Commission?
No, I went straight to court because some of the allegations that have been levied are against the commission itself. I have spoken to the leading political parties, the All People's Congress, which is the governing party. I have spoken to the main opposition, SLPP, Secretary General today. I have also spoken to senior members of the National Grand Coalition, and I also spoke to the Secretary General of the Coalition for Change. So all of those officials have raised concerns about the credibility of the elections, but none of them chose to go to court. So I am coming to court to ask the court to settle these questions, to answer these questions, to get the commission to answer these questions, and settle basically the concerns of these people so that we can go into runoff elections without fighting, without the problems not being settled. There are so many concerns, and these concerns are affecting the ordinary people who are not politicians at all.
So, Mr. Koroma, as you said, you spoke with the ruling APC and the opposition SLPP, and that none of these parties did not find the need to go to court. So why is it now that you must go to court?
I don't think as a nation we are going the right way. I don't think that the leaders of this country are doing the correct things. I don't think that the commission has discharged its responsibility under the law adequately to address all of these concerns. So I think that as a citizen, I have a right to do what I'm doing. My hope is that the other political parties who have raised these issues will come and join this suit, will be interested in this, and would all, as a nation, go to court and ask the court to give directions so that we can go into runoff elections peacefully.
Mr. Kuruma, I was just wondering, are you related to President Ernest Bai Kuruma?
I am not a relative of the president. I am only a Sierra Leonean.
But you are a member of the ruling party?
Yes, I am. But I'm not acting for the party at all. But I think that Sierra Leoneans would want that all of those concerns that have been raised, all of this fighting that is happening now should stop so that we do not go into elections again fighting with guns, with machetes, or with knives, but as brothers and sisters.
So what do you think are your chances? Do you think the court will accept your request for an injunction? Because as you know, the runoff election is next week.
This is not just about an injunction. I have prayed for several other reliefs, including, of course, the review of all the systems adopted by the commission going through these elections. I have also asked for reliefs such as the appointment of an independent auditor to check what they are doing and for them to also tell us how, to tell Sierra Leoneans how they got into the final figures that they got, because the procedures that we adopted were unconventional. These are strange procedures. They did not tell the nation how they got the figures. They did not tell the nation how they voided votes that they voided. 122 polling stations voided. They didn't tell the nation where these polling stations were. And that's why people are fighting. And that's why people are questioning the credibility and the independence of the commission.
Ibrahim Sori Koroma is a member of Sierra Leone's ruling All People's Congress Party, who is asking the Supreme Court for an injunction on the March 27th runoff election. He was speaking with me from the capital, Freetown. In addition to Ibrahim Koroma's petition asking the Supreme Court to issue an injunction on the runoff election, the ruling All People's Congress Party has demanded a forensic audit of the March 7th first round presidential vote, citing voter irregularities. In some parts of the country, the party also said officials of the Electoral Commission connived with foreign poll observers to force a regime change, an accusation the Electoral Commission has denied. The Electoral Commission says it would not be possible to conduct a forensic audit before the March 27th runoff vote. Viewers Peter Clotte reached Umaru Koroma, General Secretary of the main opposition Sierra Leone People's Party, for his reaction.
We are, first of all, very much shocked at the action of Mr. I.S. Kuruma, who was an APC member of parliamentary aspirant during the award of symbol, and who was one of the APC lawyers that went to the National Electoral Commission yesterday to represent his political party. We see this as a deliberate attempt by the APC to derail the political process in our country that is mandated constitutionally to conduct runoff elections 14 days after the announcement of the first polls. And NEC has announced the date. We are all preparing to seek that date and have the elections conducted. What the APC is trying to do now is to delay the process using the court. We completely condemn that particular action by Mr. Ibrahim Kuruma.
But the APC came out stating that there were irregularities during the first round of elections and that there were violence meted out against some of their supporters orchestrated by the SLPP, the main opposition party, your party, saying that there were ballot stuffing in some of your strongholds. And that is why they seek a forensic audit and that their concerns has to be addressed before the runoff. Hence, the injunction that has been filed in court.
Peter, this is completely untrue. What we have complained of against the APC is what they brought again as a complaint against us. What we had written to the Electoral Commission, we are concerns we raised with them, which we believe there were room for improvement during the conduct of the runoff elections. We had written our letter, and the Commission had promised to look into our concerns and get back to us. And they assured us that they will look into all of these concerns raised and we will see much, much more improvement in the conduct of the runoff election. And additionally, they promised us, both political parties, that they were going to take us to their IT place so that we can have our IT expert to look at their system they have so that we can be satisfied. With regards to the issue of ballot stuffing, this was a complaint we had filed against them.
If the injunction that the private citizen goes ahead and is upheld by the court, what happens next?
There is no basis in the first place for him filing an injunction. But whatever it is, a private citizen, if he has gone to court for an injunction, that is mandated constitutionally to act 14 days to conduct an election. And he's filing papers in the High Court. Would you believe the High Court does not have any jurisdiction to determine issues related to our constitution? Granting an injunction to him, we have to bring into question constitutional provisions, i.e. the mandate of the commission to what they are bound by the constitution of the land to do, which is to conduct elections and announce results. We believe firmly that the judiciary, being an independent arm of government, will look at the papers that have been filed. In the first place, him being a private citizen, though he's claiming, we know he's acting under the guise of the APC, but what is at stake here? What has been done by NEC that will warrant such a claim that has been filed against them by Mr. Ibrahim Kamara, who claims to be a private citizen? I believe NEC has a very, very strong firm of retained lawyers. They will look into the matter.
Umaru Koroma is the General Secretary for the main opposition Sierra Leone People's Party. He spoke with viewers Peter Clotte from the capital, Freetown. Today's Wednesday, March 21st, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Daybreak Africa time is 16 and a half minutes past the hour. The Cameroon government says its military raided separatist camps and freed three hostages, including a Tunisian. The Tunisian and two Cameroon technicians were working for the Tunisian company Sorubat when they were kidnapped on March 15 in the volatile southwest region of the country. Information Minister Issa Chiroma Bakari says security forces recovered the body of another Tunisian after he had been killed by the separatists. He said the army moved in after it was learned that the separatists had demanded a ransom of 50 million CFA francs.
When it was brought to the knowledge of our army that a Tunisian company workers were taken hostage and a ransom were paid, our army, after having localized their hideout, decided to storm in order to free the four hostages made up of two Tunisians and two Cameroonians. During the battle for their liberation, unfortunately, one Tunisian has lost his life, but our army successfully have secured the liberty of a three others. There were seven terrorist secessionists who have taken the hostages. During the fight, five of them have been neutralized and two have succeeded to escape. We also received the body of the Tunisian who has lost his life.
Minister, so what do you make of this? The report here is that the separatists released this official of the government who is responsible for administering examinations in the English-speaking region, that it was the separatists that abducted him and released him.
Completely wrong. Don't listen to what terrorists are saying, because they are deceiving people. They are misleading people in order to enhance their wrong philosophy, in order to strengthen their position, to guide simply to gain sympathy with you journalists and other people who do not know what is taking place at home here in Cameroon. The only vision, which is undeniable, is what I have just given as information, because these are the hard facts, and facts will remain facts.
So where are we in terms of whether your government is willing to at least enter into dialogue with the separatists?
When you say dialogue, would you like the government to sit around the table and to discuss and negotiate with people who would like to amputate, to dismember our nation? What will be the theme of this dialogue and negotiation? The government keeps always saying the same thing. If you have been marginalized, if you have been frustrated, the government we are ready to listen to your grievances, your claims, provided that whatever you ask is enshrined in our constitution and the law of the nation. Dialogue is something which is permanent, but understand that to dialogue with those who would like to break into pieces the nation, it is absurd to sit round a table and to discuss with those people. The dismemberment of our nation, it is unacceptable, unacceptable. Keep always on the government to repeat the same thing. The last Cameroonian is ready to give the last drop of blood in order to keep this nation united. But in case there is frustration, all second-born citizens have their claim. Okay, what are your grievances? Sit round the table and let us discuss and see if they renounce decision to break our nation into pieces, there is no problem. They will be welcome, provided that secession is abandoned once and forever.
Issa Chiroma Bakari is Cameroon's Minister of Information. He was speaking with me from the capital, Yaoundé. A spokesman for Cameroon's self-declared Ambazonian separatist movement, the group seeking to secede from French-speaking Cameroon, says they don't take foreign hostages. Chris Anu, the Secretary of State for Communication of the Ambazonian separatist movement, accused the Cameroon government of habitually kidnapping people and blaming it on the secessionists. He says the separatists are ready to unleash an economic warfare if the government failed to release separatist leaders who were arrested in Nigeria and turned over to the Cameroon government.
I do not know which hideout that the colonial forces raided, as they say they did. We are not into holding foreign hostages in this war. We are fighting this war with all the caution that we can. La République du Cameroun has been in the habit of kidnapping people and then turning around and accusing our brothers as doing the kidnapping. They have been in the habit of killing our people and then putting army uniforms on them and referring to them as their troops being killed by our people. I'm sure you are referring to the Tunisian so-called abductees. They were not abducted anywhere in the southern Cameroon. What has happened is that La République du Cameroun troops abducted them, hurt them somewhere, and now they have released them, and now they claim that they raided our camp. We don't have camps. So that did not happen. They have just released their own prisoners.
Now, since you said you are not in the habit of kidnapping foreigners, did you kidnap Professor Ivo Leke Tambo, who is, I think, the administration of the government exams in the English-speaking region? Because we are hearing now that the separatists released him. So did you kidnap him?
So if they released him, what is the difference between what La République du Cameroun does when they capture our people to hold them in dungeons without anybody seeing them? Tell me, who is behaving here? Is it our brothers who are trying to protect themselves, self-defend themselves, or the colonial government of La République du Cameroun that holds our people incommunicado for months and nobody can see them, nobody can talk to them? Who is behaving here? So, yes, our self-defense guys released this professor. He's a free man today. Our president, Sisiku Ayoktabi, was abducted. It is 2 months and counting. Nobody knows where they are. I must tell you, it was a mistake that the professor was released, because I think they would have called him and demand that our president be released. But look at the way we behave. We are civil people. We don't take people captive and hold them incommunicado. The professor is out. Can you call upon the government of Cameroon to release our president, just as these boys they did with releasing their professor?
I did speak to the government's Minister of Communication, Issa Chiroma, ask him, is the government willing to enter into dialogue with you, the separatists? He said that the government does not want to enter into a dialogue with people who want to secede from Cameroon.
We are not seceding from Cameroon, sir. And we do not, again, we do not want any dialogue with Cameroon. And we are not seceding because we have never been part of Cameroon. We are not. Any form of dialogue with Cameroon is that form of dialogue that we sit on table and talk about the terms of our separation. That is a form of dialogue that we're going to sit down with them to discuss. Other than that, we have nothing to do with them. And let me tell you, we are now going to release a hurricane upon them, because we have been somehow so subtle in what we do here. But since they have refused to cooperate with us to release our president, over 3,000 of our people are held in dungeons in colonial territory. What we have now resolved to do, dialogue is off the table, and we are going to unleash an economic warfare on them. Let them wait for us.
Chris Anu is Secretary of State for Communication of the Ambazonia Separatist Movement of Cameroon. He was speaking with me from the U.S. city of Houston in Texas. South Sudan's National Communication Authority on Tuesday informed the public through a written correspondence of its plan to suspend the operations of the VivaCell mobile network, giving the network carrier and its customers 1 week to prepare. The directive was given by South Sudan's Minister of Information, Communication, Technology and Postal Services. Michael McQuay confirmed the directive but refused to offer further explanation.
Yes, we are shutting down the VivaCell because it has decided not to conform with our laws and regulations. We are from tonight suspending the foreign contacts, and within 7 days we will shut it down completely if they don't respond.
Could you expand a little more on what the issue is exactly?
No. These are administrative issues. What do we have to do with it?
Sir,
it is enough that it is the government has decided this is a government policy, and if they have to conform. If not, then they go. What have you to do with the why?
Well, sir,
I doubt if you have anything to do with that. Why did the government shut it down? The government shut it down because it is not conforming with the policies. Full stop.
Well, sir, as you know, this decision impacts many South Sudanese.
No, I said that is enough. I'm not ready to give you an explanation. This is a government policy. Full stop. What more do you want?
Our South Sudan Information Minister Michael McQuay speaking to IMBO of the South Sudan In Focus program. In Paris, President Emmanuel Macron outlined plans on Tuesday to transform French into a top international language through the vehicles of education, media, and art. As Lisa Bryan reports from Paris, Macron reached out to critics of his language plans, stressing French must coexist and nurture other languages, including those from former colonies.
In a keynote speech at the French Institute in Paris, President Macron said France aims to open 10 French institutes yearly overseas as of 2019 and double the number of students going to French high schools overseas, as well as foreign students studying in France.
Alors, je souhaiterais qu'on fasse de ce château.
Macron also announced the creation of a Francophonie laboratory of sorts at a chateau outside Paris, where French was made this country's official language in the 16th century. Other plans include supporting the development of cultural and creative industries in Francophone Africa and the Caribbean, and funding cinema co-productions with North African countries. And he said refugees in France must have greater access to French classes. French, Macron says, must reach new audiences and reconquer terrains, including business and economy, where English rules. Today, French only ranks 6th worldwide in terms of the numbers of speakers, well behind Mandarin, English, and Spanish. But the Paris-based International Francophonie Organization estimates the numbers of French speakers will almost triple to 700 million by 2050, with the large majority in Africa. Macron's drive to promote French has drawn criticism, notably from leading African writers and intellectuals who believe it smacks of neocolonialism. He acknowledged this in his speech as he described French as a language that was inclusive and open and thrived alongside others.
La francophonie
Macron said francophonie needs to recognize other languages, not just European ones, but also those that are fragile and isolated, and defend African languages such as Wolof, Lingala, Bassa, and the Creole dialects. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
That's it for this Wednesday, March 21st edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I'm James Botte in Washington, wishing you in Africa a very good Wednesday.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.